from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody else who's listening. It's that time of the week again, time for Postcard from Poprad. And what a week it's been, eh? A week when comedy has become a weapon of war. 17 dead because of a couple of old jokes, and this week, a riposte by cartoon on the front page of a cynical little magazine. Maybe the world should take a lead from Oz rugby player Alex McKinnon, who was diagnosed as a quadriplegic after an accident, but was so determined to walk again that this week he stood up on his own two feet. The world should take notice. So anyway, in the blue corner, it's our very own First Lady of Oz, Rachel Brunsdon.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and good whatever it is where you are.
Look, well, that's another day gone, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. That was a bit Truman Show-esque of me, but oh well. Look, everything's exceptionally wonderful in Melbourne. The lovely Rob is home for his week furlough. We have got really lovely cool temperatures and zero humidity and lovely sprinklings of rain, and it's just gorgeous. It's a great time to be alive.
That sounds absolutely glorious. How wonderful.
Fantastic. Fantastically.
And in the other blue corner, it's the golden voice of Slovakia, the girl with only one name, Petra!
Hello.
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 How are you? What's happening over in Slovakia, dear?
Nothing boring.
Is nothing boring? That means lots of exciting things then.
No. You know, Eric is not here, as you all have noticed, so I'm pretty bored in the office as well.
Is it snowing?
No, there's snow only up in the mountains, but it's a beautiful sunny day here.
It's been snowing here.
Well, you can keep it. Well, we have plenty of it.
There's a big old storm, which is named after me, apparently.
It is.
on its way, and it's even spelt correctly, which is even better.
You actually not sending it here. You're not sending it here.
No, it's staying here. I must say, I must say that it is actually the truth that Rachel has dumped on my rooftop.
It was a long, long, long awaited dream of mine to do so. And I had to do it by a proxy, but Rachel has dumped. And, you know, that's all we need to know. That's the headline right there.
Now you've just made that joke cheap by repeating it. It could have been a mistake before.
It could have been. You know, it's so funny because people have been posting it on my Facebook page. Rachel, what have you done? Rachel, look what you're doing. Rachel, oh my goodness. And I think it's hilarious. I was like, yay, go me. And I, of course, being the narcissist that I am, I really enjoy seeing my name in print.
just a sec. Can I introduce myself as well, please? Because I actually have that as well. Yes, and in the other blue corner, it's me, Lee G. Banks, the tabloid terror, standing in for the lovely Mrs. Eric Wiltshire, who's off on his travels again. What a lucky boy he is. And we must do a shout out quickly for Pipeline Radio, Bondi Breeze, Talk Radio, X Spreaker, anybody else you can think of that we're on. I can't remember all the names because I'm a terrible person and should be ashamed of myself. But you know who you are. And let's get on with this show. Don't we start in a very strange place because I'm now filling because I've just realised I haven't got my list open, so I don't know where to go. Hang on. There we are. We have an abundance of real gone kids this week.
Is that? Is it because it's cold and the old people don't like the cold? What is that?
No, I think it's God having a cull of celebrity.
I think you're right. And, you know, this first one that we're talking about has a bit of a link to one we did last week.
Does she?
Yes.
Why?
Anita Ekberg, star of La Dolce Vita, which was a most fantastic film, by the way.
Yeah. Federico Fellini, dear.
Beautiful. I love Fellini.
Allow the Philistinism to creep into this show. We all know. Do you know who Federico Fellini is, Petra?
No.
He's a wonderful filmmaker. Beautiful filmmaker. And she is a beautiful woman. And she was engaged. She's died at age 83, by the way. She's a former Miss Sweden.
She is.
And she was beautiful. In this particular film, there's this really iconic scene where she wades through Rome's Trevi Fountain in a strapless dress, and it's one of those iconic film images that stays with you forever. The other one is Fay Wray being held up by King Kong's great big hand, and you know, stuff like that from the era. But she was actually engaged to Rod Taylor, who passed away last week.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Yes, they were. They died within days of each other, and they were engaged back in the day. They didn't marry, but they were engaged.
Oh, how sweet. Listen, we've got loads of dead people to get over now.
Heaps of death.
Yeah, and one that might not mean much. Would Brian Clements, the writer of The Avengers and The Professionals, mean anything in Australia?
Very much. The Professionals was a show that was very hardcore here, and so was The Avengers.
Well, you had a porn version of it.
Oh, no. And when I say hardcore, I don't mean that. I mean the euphemism of today, meaning that's really, really, like, very popular and...
Sick.
Everywhere. Yeah, fully sick, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, he's died as well. He was 83, and that's the tragedy. But do you think if you're 83, you've had a good innings? We used to say, oh, he's 83, he's had a good innings. But is that really a good innings anymore? I don't think it is.
You know what? It's so weird that when I went to this appointment that I had today...
Oh, who just fell over?
Who fell off their chair? Petra, you've been drinking on the job.
Yeah, Eric's not here, so I'm allowed.
Ah, you found his sneaky hip flask, I know.
Yeah.
Well, this appointment that I attended today, Uncle Lee, at this particular establishment, the gentleman who is one of the bosses there, he's a guy by the name of John, and he's 80. And he knows everything there is about computers, and he's just as spry as a slinky, really is. And it really depends who you ask about is 83. I think it depends what you've accomplished, I guess.
Well, he said, but at 65, he used to be really over the hill, didn't you? You know, 20 years. Mm. Now 80 seems to be the sort of the new 60.
You're right, because a long time ago, 30 was the 80.
Was it?
No, everybody was lucky to. These are the people that invented things like marriage and monogamy. That if you were lucky to make it to the age of 24 without being eaten by a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh, right, I see. Yeah. What's the average life expectancy in Slovakia, Petra? I don't mean in your house with your temper, just generally.
I don't know, 70, 80 is just normal.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I think it is now, isn't it? So they've not had a good innings at 83, has he, poor old George Clemens?
But he accomplished so much. It's, you know, he filled his life. His life was rich, so in that way it was a pretty good innings.
Yeah, and let's move on quick, because like I say, we've got loads of... What about poor old Samuel Goldwyn Jr.?
He died at 88, which, I mean, again, is a kind of a good innings too, but what a... When you think how old his dad was.
How old was his dad?
70-something when he died.
Oh, so he's out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Goldwyns, because they're, you know, they are the first family of Hollywood, really. Goldwyn Sr. was a really big legend, and everybody knows Richard Goldwyn Mayer. And this was his son, who was just as prolific in that industry. Of course, he was, you know, inherited that from his dad, I would imagine, you go into the family business. But he, among his achievements, he was credited with giving Julia Roberts her big break in the 1988 comedy drama Mystic Pizza.
Mystic Pizza?
It's a great film.
Is it? I have heard of it.
It's a real quirky film. It's one of those quirky cult films now. It's become a bit of a cult film. You can dig it up quite easily. It's not hard to find, but it is quite a quirky little, you know. You can see what they saw in her, you know, back then.
Yeah,
you know,
Well, he said he also did The Madness of King George, Truly Madly Deeply, and an actor who, I've got to be honest, I don't really admire very much, Kenneth Branagh's Henry V. Yeah, we've got to move on. Who's heard of Lance Percival?
Not me.
Well, he's dead as well.
poor Lance.
And Dozy of Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch has died. And he was only 70.
I don't know who that is either.
Don't you remember Dave D, Dozy, Beaky and Mick?
Well, I don't think it's possible to remember what I didn't know to begin with, so no.
They must have. I didn't realise they were just sort of an English band. I thought they were quite international. They were in. I suppose they were in the 60s, and that was before you were born, really, wasn't it, Rachel?
That's true, but I know who Beethoven was, and he's before I was born.
He was a dog.
Was he an actual Fido, a canine?
Yeah, there was a film made about it, Beethoven the dog.
Yes, that's right. He was a Saint Bernard. Actually, he had several sequels. He did quite well as a canine himself.
Did he?
Yeah, his innings was quite long.
I never saw it, never looked. Anyway, let's do an affirmation of life. After all this stuff about people dying and all things being horrible, let's do this affirmation of life. An affirmation of life from Australia. The extraordinary moment when wheelchair-bound footy star, who wrote footy star, Alex McKinnon, stands up. That was the Daily Mail who wrote footy star, stands up for the first time, helped up by the fiancé he vowed to walk down the aisle. Now, Alex McKinnon broke his neck in a football match and was diagnosed as a quadriplegic, which is terrible, isn't it? Sorry?
It was really awful. And, of course, because all these matches are televised, you could see it all in the 100,000 replays.
We've seen it. You actually saw it.
Yeah, of this particular tackle, and it was, you know, clearly very, very dangerous, and they're not allowed, of course, because they are so dangerous. But result was that he was diagnosed as being quadriplegic, and now it seems that he's been he'd vowed that he wasn't accepting that diagnosis, that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and he's been in very intensive rehabilitation since the injury happened in March of last year,
and he has
stood up. Brilliant.
Yeah, you think that was March? That's not even a year ago. And from having his neck broken and being diagnosed as a quadruped in less than a year, he stood up for the love of his life. I think that's amazing. What do you think, Petra?
What that's like, believing that you can do it and not giving up. Mm.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Do you believe in believing?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, I think if you do, it's a matter of accepting or not accepting the circumstances that you're presented with. Yeah. And if there's a way to overcome it, then and you really, really want to, then you will.
Do we believe in the power of positive thought? Is that what positive thought is?
I think it is. And also that, you know, the whole notion of visualization for your goals. So if you imagine yourself, you know, looking off the observation deck at the Empire State Building, you will go to New York, you know, that kind of thing. So if you
I'm going there in 2 weeks.
I'm going there in 12 months.
Yeah, you're going to go and see a show about something.
About my big gay Italian wedding. Well, I'll mention it.
I know.
Yeah, but if you imagine these things, and you know, if it is to be, it is up to me, and all that kind of stuff, I think it's true. And
Rachel,
if you want something bad enough, you can have it.
Rachel, can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you really have a big gay Italian?
He wishes.
Have you seen that? Because he's named after a spaghetti, isn't he?
He almost, yes, it's very similar. It's very similar. And he wishes he was a big gay Italian. He wishes he was Queer Eye for the Rob guy.
That's terrible.
he's hilarious. Oh, we were looking at things to do in December in New York, because we're going there for Christmas and New Year. Well, so we were looking for...
Obviously, yeah. What did you find?
Yeah.
We found nothing.
Well, we found you can actually go and see the Elephant Man on Broadway.
The real? Yep. Oh, on the show. Oh, I see. Yeah, right.
Yes, but we actually have found a lovely play that is actually showing on Christmas Day called The Audience, and it's a show starring the lovely Dame Helen Mirren.
Now, The Audience, that is actually, I can't remember who did it now, but that is quite a heavy play. That's not a light-hearted play, is it?
No, that's a heavy one. Well, I wanted to do one hardcore, really, you know, gritty
play. Start there again,
Petra. I'm back with the hardcore, sorry. And I also wanted to do something a bit lighter. So we're going to go and see The Audience with Helen Mirren, and then we're going to go see The Book of Mormon, because you have to.
The Book of Mormon?
Mm.
What's that? I've heard of that as well.
It's a musical, and it was written by the guys who created South Park, and it's won a gazillion Tony Awards, and it's apparently brilliant. Yeah. So we're going for both ends.
We're going for a walk round Thingy Park, and I'm going to say we're going to go begging in Times Square.
Do that. Take Andrea ice skating in Central Park.
No, you have to pay for that. Well, it depends on what you get.
Take it for a handsome cab ride in the little horsies around New York.
I bet it'd be cheaper if you took an ugly one.
Lee only does rabies.
Yeah, I do. Honestly, yeah,
you
absolutely.
You should do it for your love.
I'm a travel writer.
Look, somebody starts walking because of their love, and you?
Yeah. We're not doing the travel. We're going to stay 3 nights at the Waldorf Astoria because you have to.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm not letting Andrea listen to this show.
I tried to book us into the Plaza, but it's already booked for next year.
We've got a caravan in Central Park. but it's a posh one.
Do believe me.
That's great.
Listen, let's move on, because there's something here. I'm not sure about this story. It sounds a very strange story, but there is a hacker group that's been known for ages who stand up and be counted by calling themselves Anonymous. And they've never really caused any great trouble. It's funny, because if you look at pictures of His Royal Bobness with his moustache and his elegantly slim face, which he sucks his cheeks in like a big girl to get, you see the hackers, the anonymous hackers, have actually based their look on His Royal Bobness.
And it's a very peculiar mask they wear. I'm not too sure I subscribe to their ideology, but go on.
Well, no, but that's the thing. They've never really done any harm, have they? I think in a lot of ways, apart from the look of the mask and their supposed intent, they haven't done anything really to shake the world. But now, and bear in mind they're anonymous, they've decided that they will declare war on the jihadists after the attack in France. Now, that in itself is a bit ineffectual. That's like a load of lads in a pub just standing up and say, yeah, we'll go and get them. Let's come on, lads, let's go and get them. But doesn't it smack of this very, very frightening thing, particularly pertaining to the fact of what's been happening in America, where the terrorists have claimed to have broken into the defense computers of the US. Isn't it worrying that actually these wars could now be properly carried out in cyberspace?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that I've been nervous about that for some time. The more intricate the technology becomes anywhere, you can imagine that it's only a million times more intricate and sophisticated somewhere else, and that has been hacked, because the hackers are always smarter than the people that develop the stuff, so they're always, you know, 3 steps ahead, and they always seem to know what's going on before anybody else does. So I'm always really nervous about, I'm not nervous about somebody dropping anthrax into the air conditioning or some sort of poison into the water. I'm nervous about somebody crippling us in terms of our technology, because that would be a disaster. And
it would be
really scary if all the computers went down and the stock exchanges went down and all our utilities went down. It'd be absolute mayhem.
Doesn't this mean that actually the whole of our society, the world, global society, is based now on a very unstable kind of technology? Surely, to have everything on the internet is a very unstable way of conducting global business.
I think it's all right.
You can't. It's possibly better than sending stuff by carrier pigeon. But how is it? And then for a group like this to actually stand up and get some kind of mention. See, what can they do? All they've done is threaten the BBC in the past, and they've threatened
a couple of rappers,
and threatened to release sex tapes and stuff like that. Do they only do threats, or do they actually take any action? And if they're only doing threats, what is the value to the world at this moment of them? So we've decided the anonymous group should just grow up and shut up, I think.
Yeah, they really should. And if they want to do something useful or helpful, they should, A, unmask themselves, because there's nothing heroic about hiding your face. It's just stupid.
Yeah, and stop using Bob Dylan masks.
Yeah, and they should also stand up for themselves, be counted, have faces, and maybe come from a platform of something that's actually real.
Yes.
And not just say, we don't like when the G20 meets, let's make a noise. We don't like this, let's make a noise. If you don't have to be a terrorist yourself to counter terrorism.
Well, they wouldn't class themselves as terrorists, would they? They'd class themselves as something else that I can't think of the word of. What about Tim Wilson?
Terrorists?
Tim Wilson. What about him?
Yeah, you know, this is really... He's sort of gone and done it, really. He's made me agree with Corey Bernardi, which is really, really not good. And let me explain why. Corey Bernardi is a senator who likes to write books. And he likes to say that he's a hard right-wing Christian, fundamentalist Christian. Mm. So he says that anybody who had a stepmother or a stepfather is more likely to be a heroin addict. Now, I had lots of stepfathers, several, and a couple of stepmothers, and I'm not a heroin addict, so I don't like that. Thanks very much, Corey Bernardi. But he's very controversial, very outspoken, he's just a bit of a pill. Tim Wilson, who's the Human Rights Commissioner, has come out and said that racial discrimination laws need to change because of all these new cartoons being published by the guys in France, which would be banned under Australian law that exists now.
Mm, mm.
I don't think that... I mean, the whole idea of freedom of speech is to offend and be offended. So I don't know that what he's saying is going to help. And Corey Bernardi's come out with another guy called Dean Smith and said, that's kind of stupid. And now he's got me agreeing with them. So we don't know about Tim Wilson. I think he needs to just be quiet. I think he's one of these bleeding heart lefties who just sees an injustice and then bangs his drum really loudly about it without actually considering and being thoughtful.
I think I tend to agree with you. It seems a sad statement to come out with now, because you know, the one thing we've got to do is stand by each other in the face of this, and it does seem a strange thing. What I did before we did the show, before we came on air, I went on the wonderful internet, that thing that I respect more than anything else in the world for its veracity and its truth telling and its ludicrosity, and looked up cartoons about our Christian God.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are cartoons about our Christian God. And I'm not being inflammatory when I say this, but the truth is the cartoons about our Christian God are very anodyne and very straightforward and actually not very funny, but are totally inoffensive. Now, why, if we... I can't find... I'm sure there are offensive cartoons or offensive jokes about God, but I can't find any. So why are we offensive about the Muslim gods? Why are we offensive about them? This is almost medieval, really, isn't it?
It's like burn the witch, burn the witch. I think it sort of stems from a little bit of ignorance and a little bit of fear. I really do. This is a deity that has... being used against us in the name of violence. And I don't... Of course, we're going to fight back, however we're going to fight back. But I think, you know, culturally, we know that... Like, if I walk down the street, for example, just me, strolling down the street, I'm not likely to have a bomb in my backpack. Because of the way I look compared to somebody else. Simply because of the way... It's profiling. But... Mm. With Muhammad, it's, you know, the thing that really sort of chaps my backside about this whole business was that the cartoon that was published before this attack took place and was the impetus for this attack wasn't even a terrible thing against Muhammad. It was really having a crack at ISIS.
Well, that's right. But you've got to remember these cartoons go back to a Swedish publication of a few years ago, and they then repeated them. And, you know, there is, you know, all blokes like to be funny. And there is an area where blokes can overstep the mark in the pub or on the street or, you know, in a party or whatever. And and humour is something that sets the world alight. Now, I know quite a few Muslims and they have a wonderful sense of humour. It's a good thing. But there is a point where you have to draw a line. And because you are a satirical magazine, do you necessarily have the right to overstep the mark? It's a matter of good taste. And that's true. Of decency and of allowing dignity to other people. But having said that, I do not believe because some bloke in the pub has overstepped the mark in front of a woman or somebody or a Muslim or somebody else needs taking out and putting up against a wall and shooting for it.
No, they don't. And there's never a reason for that to happen ever. Ever. There's not. There's way better ways to put your... get your feelings across to this said would-be moron. Let's call him a moron. You don't need to do that. It's just there's no way anything should ever come to that. I think that, but us tearing it into each other about, you know, civil rights versus the conservatives and everything else now is just not helping at all. It's not, it doesn't, there's no value add to having that argument.
No, that's right. That's right. And I'm just looking at the cartoons again. These are the cartoons about our God. Which I believe, actually, if you trace it back to the beginnings of goddom, is exactly the same God. All gods are one God. And that we all we just came from different directions and called them different things. And and this is a cartoon about our kind of God. And it just says, hey, God loves you. With that thought, I think it's time that we take a break, isn't it, Petra?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Okay, we'll see you after the break. Have a listen to these ads. They're really good.
If your dream holiday is 2 hours from the UK, perfect for children and teenagers, young couples and the older visitor, ideal for the physically active and for those who just want to unwind, Aqua City is the destination for you. Described by the Travel Channel as the place that will soon be on everybody's lips, be ahead of the crowd and the envy of your friends, but still enjoy a home from home. Come to Aqua City Poprad, the world's leading green resort.